Amen. Clap twice if you know you're listening. All right. Thank the Lord for this day. We want to share with you today about that victory that we have in Christ our Lord. Many of us, as we enter into this season of Thanksgiving, some of us are going to be struggling trying to find some reasons to give thanks. And so what we want to do in the next couple of Sundays is to help you out with that. We know that God has done some amazing things in all of our lives. But the question is not what God has done. Are we aware and are we grateful for the things that the Lord has done for each of us? And so I invite you to join us as we shall explore this first area of thanksgiving. We're giving thanks for the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, just one verse that we're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, it's again that we thank you for this day. We thank you for this awesome privilege that we have of worship. And God, even though many of us, we have gone through struggles this week, we've had trials. Some have had to face health issues. Some have had to face burdens on their jobs and in their families. But God, we are thankful that you are God. And thank you that in all of these things, you've given us victory through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Help us to celebrate that victory. Help us to know what that victory means. But most of all, help us to walk in the newness of life that we have in Christ Jesus. We give you praise and all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for coming out on this rainy, I guess, foggy Sunday morning. You could have stayed in and said, you know what, Pastor's not going to miss me today, even though I do take what we call a mental role. But we're grateful for you being here today, and I pray that you would learn some new things as we share in this message today, because it is important. If I had to choose all of the things that I'd be grateful for, which they are many, and they should be, I would want to thank God for what we have in Christ Jesus. Everything that God had wanted to give us, treasures that the Lord wanted to provide for us, he has given to us in Christ Jesus our Lord, without exception. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, God has provided that to you in Christ Jesus. Now, many of us may not be aware of it, but let's just start by thanking God for what he has given us in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote this to a letter, wrote this letter to a group of believers that they were kind of wishy-washy. They would jump on this, and one, they had divisions among them, some saying, well, I'm of this group, and some say, I'm of that group. They had issues going on where some were committing fornication and all kinds of unclean things, but Paul wanted them to recognize who they were in Christ and what they had in Christ. I think that's good for all of us. And he says that we have the victory. We have the victory. Now, military victory meant something to the Romans because they were the Roman Empire. No one conquered them. And yet Paul had the audacity to say that believers have the victory in Christ. Paul was also referring in many of his writings about the athletic things that the people would do, and they'd get that wreath, that little temporary crown, to say they'd won. We said we have a permanent crown. We have the victory in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I want to tell you that I'm deeply troubled over some of the things that's going on in churches nowadays. We celebrate everything else except Jesus. And granted, God has given us amazing things, amazing, wonderful things. But anytime the focus is more on us than it is God, somewhere we've gotten way off track And I'm telling you, it's only going to be a matter of time before everything just collapses. If you want to know what victory is, you need to know that that victory is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So how do you know we got victory? And how do you know we need to give thanks to God for this victory? Because that's what we're going to be talking about, giving thanks for victory. Let's consider something today. Let's consider a life where there's no thanks. Unthankful, just being totally unthankful for everything. And living a no thanks life is joyless, praiseless, and friendless. Because when people live this type of no thanks life, they're really self-centered. They're really thinking about themselves, and you'll hear it in their conversation, me, mine, I, rather than what God has done, rather than recognizing what the Lord Jesus has done for us. The prideful life, they'll often talk about themselves, and even when they have friends that are useful to them. Friends that can help them promote their agenda. The most honored and honorable person in the world is themselves. That no thanks life. But not only that, the no thanks life has really no joy. It has no joy except when everything goes their way. It has no true thanksgiving, because when we become the object of our thanksgiving, that's shallow. If we had to come in here and praise ourselves, think about how shallow that is. But when we come in and we lift up and exalt something above ourselves, when we exalt the Lord and when we recognize that He is God, even in our worst day, we can say, thank God, things are as well as they are. That no thanks life, it really leads to emptiness, friendlessness. No one wants to be around that. No one wants to be around that type of person. The worship of a no-thanks person is empty, because they're only in it to scheme God, to manipulate God, and to get a blessing from God rather than blessing the Lord. That no-thanks life. Honestly, all of us have gone through that place of no-thanks. If we admit to ourselves, there have been times that we were concerned about what we wanted rather than what was worthy of God's praise. We've all lived that no thanks life, but then we got to the place where we recognized that if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And then we concluded with David in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now let me fast forward to this day that we celebrate as Thanksgiving. A lot of people are going to get together that day. They're going to do some activities that morning. Everybody's going to be preparing for the turkey. And then about five minutes, they're going to take time to give thanks. And a lot of people are going to be scrambling and saying, well, what do I have to get thanks for? Number one, you're alive. Amen. You could have been dead. But what I'm telling you is that something stronger in our lives, and that is to give thanks for Jesus. We don't know all of the things that he went through. As a matter of fact, when he was on the cross, God pulled the curtains of heaven and blacked everything out because of the horrible things that was happening to him. And yet through him, we have the victory in Jesus' name. A hand clap ought to go right there. Yeah, right there. So you don't want to live the no thanks life, and so giving thanks is the only option. Giving thanks and recognizing God is really the only way that we can really praise Him and honor Him. And so there are three things that I believe is involved with this. I always have this trilogy. I got to have this three things, you know. You know, preachers always talk about three points and then a closing, all right? So I want to give you three things. Number one, it has to be directed to God. Anything short of that is idolatry. The biggest idols that we have today are not the statues that people build, but the mirrors they stand in front of. We become the object of our worship. And ladies and gentlemen, when you direct your attention to the God who brought you through those storms, took you through those trials, and you direct it to Him, and you say, Lord, this is exclusively yours. So what do you do when you come to church? Whether in quietness or if you're loud like this country boy up here, if you're loud like me, no matter how you give the praise, give it. Amen. Give it to God because he's worthy. But then second thing about our praise and thanksgiving, it has to flow from the heart. Anytime your praise only comes because the preacher, now lift your hands, let's get a Lord a wave offering. I'm not going to get into all that. If you don't feel like praising them, guess what? I ain't your coach. But something ought to be overwhelming you. Something ought to be on the inside of you. As David said in Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. When you're running over with the joy and knowing that the Lord had to be by your side through some of the mess you came through. And yet you can hold your head up and say, Lord, I give you this praise. May not be like someone else, but I give you this praise from my heart. But then the third thing is unusual and yet it's quite appropriate. It's a testimony directed to God from the heart, but it's also your testimony. It's you saying to other people, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of this. When I recognize God, when I say that he is Lord, and when I know that I have the victory in him, I'm sharing with you what I have. Freely you have received. You know, it'd be something if God blessed you and then left you a bill. I'd have problems with the wake-up call this morning, right, Jane? You know, I'd look at it and say, God, I can't pay you for this. You don't have to pay. But what you can do is let your praise be known. Let your thanksgiving be known. Let it be something that you say with all of your heart. Now, I'm not talking about stopping people on the street and beating them across the head with your Bible. I'm talking about having that joyful attitude. And Lord knows, we as Christians have not done a good job at it. We've gone out into the world, and rather than having the joy of the Lord, we got the sourness of life is bad, you know, life is, I hate it. Well, I mean, if you hate life that much, God can fix that. He can take you out of here. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I thank God that I'm going to heaven, Brother Jones, when I die, but, you know, I don't want to leave right now because I got a few other things I want to check out while I'm here. So meanwhile, I'm going to enjoy my trip. People say, Reverend Coleman, why are you always joyful? I walk the other side. I've had that sour spirit. And I found out that having a joyful spirit, having the joy of the Lord to be with you and having a heart of thanksgiving is much better. It doesn't weigh heavy on your heart when you're going around with your head hung down like you're defeated. Many of the letters that Paul wrote, he wrote from a prison. But yet he had victory. Why? Because he directed his thanksgiving to God. It came from his heart. He recognized where he was in Christ and who he was. And despite all the shackles and storms and tribulation that they could put him through, he just came right back up. And he recognized, if God be for me, who can be against me? Yea, and all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Death can't separate us. Life can't separate us. Tribulation can't separate us. Heartache can't separate us. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? We have the victory. And we're talking about complete victory. So I want to encourage some of you that are going through your storm right now and the crisis that you're facing. I want to let you know that God has given you victory. Because really what the devil wants to happen is for you to turn your back on God. But whether you walk with the pain or walk without the pain, you still have the victory. Whether you live through the crisis or God says, I'm going to take you home in this crisis, you still have the victory. Christ has given us victory. And he's given us this testimony that we can share with the world. Amen? Hey, hand clap joint right there. Yeah, that's it. So what are the areas of victory? What are the things that we can really focus on? A couple of areas that we need to be concerned with. If you know that you have the victory in Christ, it's going to be demonstrated in the life you live. Now, part of what we do is in here, we come in, we sing our songs, and we talk about the victory. Matter of fact, number 511 in your hymnal, you can get there and sing that song, Brenda. You can say, victory in Jesus. Then walk out of church and say, you know what, let me get back to my thing. Let me go ahead and just start my car. And matter of fact, I got to kick the car to get it started because it ain't running right. Where's your victory? And the devil is right there. You just sung. Now you're defeated again. That's right where I want you. But when you walk out, and even when the car doesn't start, you're in your car that won't start, raising your hands, say, thank you, Jesus. You just give me a little bit more time to praise you. How many of y'all got the cars you got to talk to? Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. You can do it. Yeah. You might want to check out a garage, too. They might be able to help you with that. Yeah. But one of the areas that we have as far as our victory in Christ, number one, we have victory over death. I didn't realize people say that their number one enemy is Satan. And they give all the power as if Satan is the most powerful thing. And yet the only thing that he can terrorize you with is, I'm going to kill you. Which means, by his own admission, death has more power than Satan. Right? If he's got to threaten you with death, then that he is acknowledging death. And I wondered, why didn't Paul write about Satan here? Satan is a deceiver. He has to use something else to work his program. All right? You get that? So he has to instill fear. He has to instill confusion. He has to instill doubt in your mind. He has nothing original to use. As a matter of fact, the book of Hebrews says, all our lifetime we were threatened with this thing, you're going to die. Let me put you at ease. Let me put you at ease right here. Right here. And Sunday morning, November the 5th, right? At basically 9:30, you're going to die. And you can't do a thing about it. Unless the rapture takes place, you're going to keel over. But here's the victory. Life in Christ does not end in the casket. Now, I'm going to tell y'all a little bit something about my family here now. If I die before my sister, don't let her take pictures of me. Please, okay, y'all, we good? Clap your hands on that one. Now, just kidding. All right, but we have victory. Watch this. We have victory over death. Imagine the people who are threatened all of their lifetime. You're going to die. You're going to die. Satan brings that. But what does Paul say? That now that we have Christ in our life, we can boast. He actually goes back to Isaiah 25, and he brings up that verse where death is swallowed. What do you mean death is swallowed? When Christ Jesus rose from the grave, he swallowed up death. And if you watch this in the Old Testament, Moses, when he stood before Pharaoh, right? And he performed this miracle where his rod became a serpent. And all of a sudden, the magicians, they got together and their rod became a serpent. But then while they were doing that, Moses' rod swallowed up all of those other serpents. What did Jesus do when he rose from the grave? He swallowed up death. Death has no more power. Do people lose consciousness to life? Yes, but if you're in Christ, you have eternal life. Now what did Paul say? He put it this way. When you're absent from the body, you are present with the Lord. Right? He said, now, when you get out of this body, he said, really what's happening is mortality is swallowed up in more immortality. I'll get it right after a while. My ebonics keeps kicking in. But you get what I'm saying. You have that everlasting life, a life that cannot die if you're in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're not afraid of death, you can live your life now. And what would happen in the Eastern culture when someone set you free from something, you would dedicate your life to them now. You would follow them. That's why we follow Christ, because he set us free from death. Clap your hand if you know you got victory. Second thing is we have victory over sin. This is the area of our life that we struggle with. Some of the same stuff that we used to do has a nasty habit. Y'all watch these cartoons. I watch cartoons all the time. And they, you know, like this little, you know, he's sneaking behind a bush. And your sin sneaks up on you. Attacks you at a time that you're not even aware. And you say, oh, God, I thought I was free from that. I thought I was stronger now. Well, either you got self-confident and thought you could do it, didn't allow God to work through you. But I tell you what, even when you sin, 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sin, he is faithful. Watch that. Faithful. Faithful. You ever had a friend you could always come through and come to and borrow $20 from? You say that's faithful. Even when they looking at you when you come in and you know you, right? That's faithful. Let me show you something more faithful than that. Christ Jesus, every time you come to him with your sin and say, God, I'm struggling. Meaning it from your heart. God, I'm struggling. I want to conquer this. You know, he is faithful and just. He's not going to change his righteousness. Faithful and just to forgive you. Why? Because he gave you victory. That blood that he shed on Calvary, that was to pay for your sin. That's to pay for it. And when he paid for your sin, he also purged you from it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, when your sin comes up to attack you, right? You can talk to it like an old country dog. Get on around the house. Get on with me. Y'all said, this preacher's got so many theatrics. That's just me, y'all. I'm sorry. I tried being the doctor. And I ain't operating on nobody. Right? So just let me preach, all right? But having victory over sin really means that you can live in this newness of life. Having that victory over sin, knowing that you will not be tormented by that old stuff anymore, which means you and Christ can conquer those things, right? I mean, if he's given you complete victory, you can conquer that now. It doesn't have to keep coming back because the closer you get to Christ and abiding in him, the less you're going to want to do things to displease him. Amen. Let me ask the question, if y'all are not ashamed to raise your hand, how many of you have grown in Christ? Amen. And you're stronger now. Amen. Stuff you used to do, you don't do it because you don't want to do it. Amen. It's one thing to want to do it, but it's another thing when God changes the desires of your heart. That's what I'm talking about. The closer you get to him and the more you love him and the more you say, Lord, I just want to please you. Amen. Nobody has to hang over your head, thou shalt not. Now you got this law working on the inside, giving you that complete victory in Christ Jesus. Again, clap your hand, right? Yeah, that's what he did. All right, in closing, got a couple of things. So here's what we do. We're not going to talk about celebrating with our lips, but celebrating with our life. It's one thing to say, thank you, Jesus. You know, and people do that. I was talking to a young man trying to help him get through some of the struggles that he was facing. And I was sharing with him, bro, you got to dedicate yourself. He thought he could cover it up with praise. Well, let me just get in church. Let me get my praise on. Well, if you get your praise on, get right out of church and start living like the devil. What kind of life is that? What I want to do is celebrate the victory by my life. If you can't see Jesus in me, then it makes you wonder, do I have him at all? Now, I told y'all about my Uncle MacArthur, right? I told you about him, right? Mac was cool. He was the Black Fonz. Now, I know I got young people. Happy Days used to have this guy named Fonz, right? Okay, and he was real, real cool. My uncle was cooler than that. He drove a GTO. That's how cool. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I wanted to be like him. I wanted to imitate him. But now I've met someone greater than Mac because Mac died. Didn't rise from the grave after 3 days. Now I want to be like this man, Jesus Christ, because he wants me to walk in this newness of life. So I want to celebrate my victory in him. First of all, I got to be steadfast in heart. Everybody say steadfast. You know, you ever heard old people say, I ain't steadin' about you? Why are they talking like that? You talk about Ebonics. Wow. What? But what they were referencing is this old term, which means I'm not going to change my mind, or I'm not going to give mind or thought to you. Steadfastness has to do with your mind. Over in 1 Corinthians 5, it talks about a man being steadfast concerning his virgin or daughter. He said he's steadfast, which means his mind is made up. Now, your heart is really that spiritual mind that helps you to decide, am I going to do this or am I going to serve the Lord? You're going to walk out of here today, and if you're not steadfast, any suggestion that the devil brings your way, you're going to say, okay, here I go. Here I go. I ain't dancing up here, but I'm just telling you. You've got to be steadfast. You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest. You've got to be steadfast and say, my heart is fixed, my mind is made up. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to dedicate my life for him. Yeah, thank y'all. Y'all caught it. Yeah, bless y'all. You got it. So not only steadfast in heart, but you also need to celebrate the victory by being unmovable in your faith. How many of you all were in the military? I think we got a couple of folks in the military. And on your military information, which they probably still have it now out in Kansas, I think that's where you keep your military records, DDT-214 form. Separation of duty from duty. You had a permanent address. Why did you have a permanent address? You had a permanent address because in the military you'd go from place to place. Right? But your permanent address would point to two things: where you came from and where you planned on going back to. Right? That form would always remind you, in case something happened to you, you'd always know where home was. Huh? Come on now, y'all talk to me. When you're unmovable in your faith, now in life you're going to go through swift transition. All right? But if you're unmovable in your faith, you remember where home is. All right? You remember that where you came from. I came because Jesus has now given me a new purpose in life. So really, I'm born again. I'm born of God. Amen. And I plan on being with God. That's my permanent address. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm just calling Edmonton where I abide right now, amen? But my home is with Jesus. Y'all ain't getting it. You ain't getting it. Now, if your faith is where you live down on this earth, what will happen if your home is destroyed? But I've got a home unshakable in the heavens. I've got a home that cannot move, amen? So if my home is not moving, I ain't moving either. My permanent, everybody say permanent address. You see, you've got to focus on not temporary things, but permanent things, where Christ Jesus seated in heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible said we're seated with him in glory. That for that reason, our faith should be unmovable. Paul brings it out in this verse. He says, therefore, be steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding, which is the last one. Always abounding. Now, that means to not just get over. Lord have mercy. We got too many people in the church just trying to get by. On the choir singing. I'm just singing just to get through the song. Up in the pulpit preaching. I'm just preaching just so I can get to the end of the sermon. Amen. Just let me get through this. Is that what Jesus did when he got the victory for you? No, the Bible said that when Jesus was on the cross, he looked beyond what he was going through and for the joy that was set before him. Before you leave church today, I want you to smile. Show all 32 or whatever's left of them. Yeah, you just did it. Because we're always abounding, right? We are always abounding. We're always abounding. We're always going and we're always getting past what we normally would want to do. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave a command. If somebody compel you to go 1 mile, go 2. He said, that's crazy. That ain't crazy. That's always abounding. If your enemy, I'm still dealing with this. If your enemy want to smite you on the cheek, I used to say duck, but now turn the other cheek. Mike, I'm still dealing with it. I'm still praying over that one, bro. Because if you don't hit me one time, it hurts you. Next time, thank you, Lord. I'm dealing with it. But what does it mean to always abound? What I'm trying to do every Sunday is to stir up the gift that God has put in you. If you know you've got victory, if you know that God is with you and will never forsake you, you don't need to be walking around in a defeated life. You can't give that testimony. You can't talk about God being good if you act like you ain't looking good, right? But if you know that you're always abounding in the faith, some way, somehow, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to show up in your life. And he's going to be more than a conqueror to you. He's going to bless you going out. He's going to bless you coming in. He's going to bless everything in your household. So what I want you to do, just hold on to him. Hold on to him, and he will give you complete victory. Last time. Do this. Yeah. Yeah. Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your love and your grace. I'm praying, Father, that you would bless us now and help us that we be faithful to you. We are more than conquerors, Lord, and I just praise you for that because you've given us that complete victory. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May we not only say it, but Lord, may we live it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to extend the invitation. There might be someone today that perhaps you've not experienced that victory. Today can be a new day in your life, a new time, a new awakening to the truth that Jesus Christ came to set you free.